To the Waffle Mafia podcast. Hey, good to be back with you guys. Missed it last week. Work's been a little crazy. Had a hard time getting some things done. Finally starting to get caught up. Had all of the shipping get caught up last week for the stuff that's been going on in the Waffle Mafia. All of our waffles, that shipping's done, except for Sam Misha Mack and JD Gibbs. And, of course, the big show is always holding on, you know, up there in Canada. So, little pause for the calls to get us rolling here, y'all. And we're going to do a little bit of talking tonight. We're going to do a weekly waffle wrap up. Talk about that. Talk about some other stuff that's been going on. Run through it real quick. Do our 30-minute rundown. Get in, get out. Talk about tomorrow night and some other things that we got coming on a little bit later in the week. So pause for the calls for everybody who's listening, y'all. Doing bottles tonight, keeping it classy. So, give a big shout out to everybody who's in the chat room. Thanks for jumping in. You guys know how it works. Anybody who listens to the podcast, if you are in the chat room and talking during the podcast, you are automatically entered into the next upcoming waffle. And for anybody who is listening who doesn't know what a waffle is, we give that rundown at the beginning of each show. A bit of a raffle, web raffle. So we call them waffles. We serve them up hot and fresh, put a little syrup up on them bitches, and we take them down. So another thing we take down, we take them down to Pound Town. So one more little pause for the calls before we get it completely rolling, y'all. What up, Sam Misha Mack? Got Danny Maynor. What's up, Maynor? Got Stevie Alphabet in the room, Mr. Dagon, E-Daddy Eric Glenn, and that's everybody that's in. So appreciate you guys coming to hang out, hear about what we're talking about tonight. Obviously, the teaser for the podcast tonight didn't go out until right before the podcast. I did that on purpose because I had said a little bit earlier in the week that we're going to talk about the power of Grayskull. And some people may have interpreted that maybe I meant the power of the powers of Grayskull line, maybe the continuation of the vintage line and the direction that that was going in. Some people thought Eldor. Some people thought maybe we were talking about Hero and going to do some of the pre-Ternia stuff there. What up, JD Gibbs? What's going on, buddy? I hear you, E-Daddy. It has been a very, very long week for me, especially after last Saturday's party. We won't get into that. Daddy's just now out of the doghouse. And so, pause for the calls for being out of the doghouse. And for anybody who might listen to this later, any type of beverage is acceptable. Really doesn't have to be an alcoholic beverage. There is some small trends of children pausing for causes. But if you're listening to the podcast in your car going down the road, please don't pause for the cause. We don't endorse that. But so with that said, talk about the weekly waffle wrap-up. What did we do this past week? This past week in waffles, we only did one this week because Daddy's had a lot of things going on. But we did a good one for Thirsty Thursday. Obi Dunn Kenobi, Mr. Jason Dunn, took home a Ultimates Tila. So did Classics, the new Ultimates line from Super 7. Did that Tila mint on card and mint in her box. So that's going out to Mr. Kenobi. Did a Arrow. So Arrow, the Princess of Power horse, steed of Mr. Bo, went out to J.D. Gibbs. So J.D. Gibbs, you got Arrow, Mar of Primus, to Dagon. So Grim Dagon, you're in here as well. A Spike Ore. You see that, cat? What's up with that? What is up with that? We'll talk about that in a minute. So for anybody that can't see this, there are a few things positioned throughout the room normally on the podcast that would have some bearing on the weekly waffles that are on the way. Did Warrior Machine Mini, that also went out to J.D. Gibbs. Did Drag Store, that went to Snipera. A little shout out to Johnny Miz and his lady. So Sniper had got Dragstore. And then we did Waffle Mafia stickers, went out to Mr. Alphabet and to Travi Wills. So Mr. Wilson getting himself yet another Waffle Mafia sticker to now stick wherever, because it's apparently this thing spreading, man. It's going on work trucks. It's going on the family, the mommy mobile. You know, there's nothing wrong with it, guys. It goes on the heavy duty four-wheel drive. I mean, this is a very versatile sticker if you don't have one. If you don't have one and you'd like to get a hold of one, come join us in the Waffle Mafia. Come play in the Waffles. If you don't want to play in the Waffles, you're always welcome to just watch. Absolutely love it when we have a lot of people in the rooms. We get some good conversation going on and get a lot of things talked about. So that was Thirsty Thursday for this past week. Like I said, Saturday didn't really get a chance to do anything because I was out gallivanting with some of my friends, and some of my buddies from college came in, and one of my buddies turned 40. So there were some pauses. There were some causes. We did it for all of them, y'all's. So we'll pause for the calls for hangovers, y'all. Now, with that said, still waiting on my sword. I know, Sam Eason, I'm so sorry. The sword and the Havoc staff both prove quite difficult for shipping for some reason. Like, I don't have a box that they will fit in, but I wanted to wrap them, and then I thought, nah, I don't really want to wrap them. So I'll probably just end up making a box like I did for Dagon. Dagon won the sword that last time, and I ended up just kind of fashioning a box, which I've done on several occasions. If you guys have received boxes from me, you know that sometimes Daddy gets creative with the tape. But, yeah, man, go with your aliens attacking stick figure on the back of the truck. There you go, Maynor. That's what we need. What's up, Dutchie? What's going on, buddy? T-Pumper, what's going on, my man? Oh, T-Pumper in the room. It's good to see you, my friend. Thank you for jumping in. Of course, this is the Waffle Mafia podcast for those that are just hopping in. We did the kind of recap of what we've done this past week. We've apologized to Sammy and J.D. Gibbs about the staff and sword and banging your swords and staffs together, and it's just big mess. But what I really wanted to talk to you guys about are some things that we're going to do this week, and I'm going to get into the topic for tonight in just a moment, but I'm kind of going to spoil it because I've got, obviously, to talk about what's coming up to get you guys kind of primed for what the rest of the week looks like and see if, you know, how many of you guys are interested in being a part of that. So, obviously, everybody who's in the chat room, you're in for free tomorrow night, so you got one spot in for tomorrow night. What we are going to do is we're going to do Thirsty Thursday like we would normally do. And Thirsty Thursday will be about this gentleman here. So we are going to get into ye olde Battle Armor He-Man. So we're going to do Battle Armor He-Man. And of course that he is loose, complete classics. And I'll get a little more into that in just a second when we actually discuss this figure. But the big thing that I want to talk to you guys about is we're going to do for tomorrow night. So we're going to do Thirsty Thursday Battle Armor Edition. It'll mostly be centered around Battle Armor He-Man, of course. Picked up a few things this week. I don't know if you guys saw any of this gloriousness, but Super Sevens Battle Armor He-Man, as it jumps out of my hands, Super Sevens Battle Armor He-Man. This is in the Reaction Figures line. It's the three and so forth and whatnot. So Battle Armor He-Man, he is mint on his card there. Got his nice bubble and some beautiful stuff there by Super Seven. Artwork, you know, some of them I'm a fan of, some of them I'm not. This particular drawing of He-Man, much better than the one on the first package, in my opinion, just because he looked a whole lot like Sean Penn. But in this particular case, He-Man looking pretty tough, got his axe, got his battle armor there. And if you'll notice, the figure, of course, battle armor and does have his axe. So very sweet. We're going to do this also. So we're going to, and we're going to do a couple of other things as well, but we're going to lead out, of course, with our Battle Armor He-Man, who I don't know if you guys have recently looked at prices on eBay, but for whatever reason, man, Classics figures are absolutely through the roof right now. I don't know supply and demand. I don't, you know, obviously the ending of the line would have some effect on that at some point. But we didn't really truly have an ending of the line. We just had a continuation by Super 7. And speaking of Super 7, I hope you guys saw the link that I just shared a minute ago on Lucky Legends. Was so excited to talk to you guys about that. When I got that email, I was like, oh my God. Flipped over there, started reading through the email, and it said, okay, update on accessories. And I thought, yeah, you know, okay, tell us, you know, what accessories we already know we're getting. I had read in a spot or two with the Sorceress that that extra head may not be included. Then there was a rumor that the Kuduk Ungol, however you say that, Kuduk Ungol, I think is how you say it, or say her name. I think at some point was going to, there was a rumor there was going to be included. And then, so, you know, has been, hasn't been, wasn't sure how that was going to work out. And then we just got that email update from Super 7. So if you guys haven't seen that, there is a link on Lucky Legends where you can go check that out for the update from Super 7. And basically, I'm going to share the update with you for the folks that are in here because it's actually be much easier just for me to read it to you. But in the MOTU Collector's Choice Wave 2, the accessories with Karg, he is the ghoulish commander of Skeletor's army, comes armed with Crucia, the Dagger of Agony, and a flesh burner laser gun. So there's Karg. Granita or Granita or however you guys want to say her, the rock warrior, sweet, sweet lady. The superhuman heroine of the rock people arrives with rock pieces and her refraction laser at the ready. Of course, as with the vintage figures, we didn't have a vintage Granita or Granita, however you want to say it. But with the other rock people, they didn't come with a lot of accessories. You just had the simple accessory that inserted into the chest, and that was the refracting gun or whatever that may be, some sort of laser. I can't remember exactly what they're called. Dutchie, they are, man, a lot of great accessories. I'm really super pumped about this. Dialamug, the evil robotic horde trooper, comes with rotating faces. Oh my gosh, we've had this discussion for so, and I feel like we've had the Dialamug discussion for so long, wanting to get Dialamug. And now that we're actually getting Dialamug, then it was like, oh, wait. There are a few things that we would like to see Dialamug do, and one of those things is obviously his expressions change and the face rotates and makes different faces. So, what's up, Coronado? What's going on, OLC in the room? So the centerpiece, the nose piece, looks like it's going to stay set, but then we're going to have some rotating expressions there with the rest. Cartoon style horde crest, firing horde crest, and toy style horde crest. So he's going to have a couple of very cool things. And that crest is actually on Dialamug, and it's like it's beaming out. So that's, man, out of all of them, they really, even though I'm in love with a birdie, that particular figure, that Dialamug, oh my gosh, man, it was everything that Tyler Baker could have ever hoped it would be, and that's saying a lot. So Tyler Baker, shout out over to Fans of Power, Joe Amato and Tyler. I know you guys have been wanting Dialamug for a really long time, and I know a lot of you guys have too, and so we're finally getting it, and it is actually everything that Tyler could have dreamed of. So with that said, that means a whole lot. So a little pause for the calls on old Dialamug there. Got my rotating faces. This is the one that drinks beer. Sorry, Eternian Loggers. We don't promote that type of thing. Rap Trap. Cursed undead creature emerges from the eons with a Kopesh of Carton and the Necrobow or the Necrobow. So, of course, some of his undead stuff come along there. And, of course, because Rap Trap is new and we don't really have anything on him. You know, some of this stuff obviously is going to be made up, the accessories that go along with them. MOTU Club Grayskull Wave 2 accessories. So this, of course, is the second part of the wave that includes Merman, Sorceress Tongue Lasher, or Tongue, however you like to refer to him, or Lasher, or just whatever it may be. I just call this one Lasher, but... So Manny Face is also in that group. Need more blast accessories in the line. I agree, man. I also definitely agree with that. Merman, the amphibious servant of Skeletor, arrives armed with the Spear of Bakul. So that's very cool. We're getting the Spear of Bakul. Sword of Rakash. Come on now. And the Freeze Ray gun. So that's kind of cool. He's got his Freeze Ray gun. The Protector of Eternia, the Sorceress. This is the piece we need to talk to about. It does. I like Rap Trap. At first introduction of Rap Trap, I kind of was like, the name got me a little bit. He's the Horde Mummy, and I kind of like to just think of him as the Horde Mummy. But so Rap Trap, after, you know, I kind of looked at it a few times, and definitely if you look at the sculpt, there's a lot of really nice work done on the sculpt. He fits right in, and anytime that we get more Horde members, I'm totally cool with that, man. Sometimes I feel like the Snake Men, you know, are continuing to evolve and continuing to have more, you know, because we not only were getting the beautiful Fangor by Axel, but there are some other prototypes that Axel has drawn that are a possibility that we might get as well with the Snake Men. So I think Quick Flick or Flick Shot. I think it's Quick Flick, maybe, but I don't know. We'd have a totally different podcast, guys. We'll talk about that later. Sorceress. Here's the key piece. Anything of Rakash? Absolutely. Alphabet. Right up there, buddy. Right up there is the Sea of Rakash. I have my finger in the water. Don't think I don't. Sorceress, Protector of Eternia and the Secrets of Grayskull. Sorceress comes with two sets of interchangeable wings. So here's the answer to the question, guys. This is the thing that everybody we're really worried about. And I'm glad you said that, Coronado, because the pre-orders are running through the end of the month. So if you guys are trying to get in on this wave on Super 7, we now have to do the pre-orders. And let me run that down for anybody who's not used to the podcast, who doesn't, or maybe is just now getting into Masters, or, you know, maybe a cool friend told you this was the thing to do and now you're showing up. So, you know, shout out to them and pause the calls for those folks. But with Super 7, we're ordering them in waves, waves of four. And then you can add any additional figure at that point. The kicker is the system at one point was actually allowing you to add individual figures, but there was an email that came out from Super 7 stating clearly that if you did that, the order may go through. However, it will be canceled. So don't put yourself in that spot. Find a friend who's already ordering some. There's strategic ways around it if you guys only want a particular figure. However, that pre-order ran October the 2nd through the end of this month. So please support the line if you can. Some folks can't. If you can't, go over to BBTS and get it when you can, because then that shows Super 7 that the Big Bad Toy Store orders were not in vain and that the demand is there. So, you know, support the line in any way we can. But so with the Sorceress, you need Hoof. Come on, Dutchie. Wish they would have scratched the Sorceress for an NA figure. Yeah, boy, I much would have rather had Hoof, I can tell you that. Now, I actually do want Hoof. I mean, who doesn't, man? And Stevie, this is your fault that I've gotten into NA, and I really used to reject it. I mean, like a damn Coors Light or something. But no, I've gotten into NA a bit because of you jerk. And but I've been collecting them, and that's your fault. And then I'm going back watching the cartoons because I'm like, gosh almighty, I'm not the least bit versed in this as strongly as I need to be to talk about these kind of things. But back to the Sorceress. Pause for the cause. We got about 9 minutes, y'all. So the Sorceress, the Protector of Eternia and the Secrets of Grayskull. Sorceress comes with two sets of interchangeable wings, one open, one closed. So, very cool. We wanted to get away from this drum situation with the wings in the back with the classic Sorceress. Just didn't work out. It was clunky. It was ugly. And Super 7 want to get their way around this. And we still haven't seen exactly how that's going to happen. We haven't seen exactly how that works. But we do know that there are two sets of wings now. So we're going to have one open, and then obviously we're going to have a closed pose. I have a feeling it is going to be much like the material that Krita has. And some of us were talking about that earlier in the group. It really Stevie Alphabet, I think, was the one that brought it up. It really, really restricts the motion of her arms. Or maybe it was Cullen Culp. I can't remember. We were talking about it. But the restriction just kills the posability of it for Krita, just because of the way the shawl piece or whatever it is. Now, as far as the material itself, it's fairly flexible. And we have heard some reports already of some of the other stuff, like Stratos's wings that were made out of that type of material. If, in fact, it is the same material being used for the Sorceress wings, seems to be a little too soft of a rubber, I guess you would say. So it doesn't hold its shape of where you put it as well. You know, it's quickly to move back. So I don't know, guys. We really won't know until we have these in hand, and unfortunately, you know, we don't, and we haven't seen them, and that kind of thing. What's up there? Oh Lord, let's have a pause for the cause, for the God Waffler, y'all. Lord Carbuncle's in the room. Mr. God Waffler, thank you, sir. Thank you for jumping in. Carbuncle's just making sure he gets his name on that wheel for tomorrow night. You know, he knows if he gets in here in the old podcast that we'll do it up right. So on to those interchangeable sets of wings and kind of talking about that. With Krita, it doesn't necessarily work. I really do think it will work for the Sorceress, though, because it is more or less, as we're looking at her in the out wing position, it's sort of a flat back, and the depth can be given with paint and color and that kind of thing. So I think we're going to be okay there. Also, the two big kickers that we did not know we were getting for sure, one of them didn't know about at all. So, we've got the alternate head of Kuduk Ungol. I think they spelled that wrong in the email, but Kuduk Ungol, who was the Sorceress before the Sorceress. And then, we're getting that alternate head, and then also getting Zor with a perch. So awesome that we're getting Zoran clothes. That was not something that we talked about. Tongue Lasher, the venomous member of the Evil Horde, comes equipped with a Horde issue jetpack, a blaster, and alternate head with the closed mouth. So we got the open tongue mouth, the closed mouth, just like we did with the Classics version of Tongue Lasher, who some say is the same figure, some say it's not. Manny Faces, the redeemed member of the Heroic Warriors, comes equipped with Man-E weapons assortment. So we'll be getting Man-E weapons, more or less, through that particular version of Manny Faces. If she doesn't come with a staff, I'm going to be pissed. LC, I don't know that she does. And that's the thing. Like, I really do think that this is kind of in place of that is where we're getting that extra head. It would make sense that we would get her staff. However, that's more of a tie to the Vintage line than it necessarily is to Filmation, and her being Filmation, I just don't know that we'll get it. David Valdez, thank you, brother, for hopping in, man. Shout out to you, Mr. Valdez. Thank you for jumping in. First time we've seen you in a room. Cool. Did you discuss, if you could, the Filmation Sorceress as a sub for the Classics one? Yeah, I had responded. What up, D-Lo? What's going on, buddy? Been watching last weeks for 25 minutes. That's funny. So yeah, Mr. Valdez, we were talking about that just a minute ago. I think I'd replied to your comment about it also. And I appreciate you bringing that up because, you know, the question would be, is this Sorceress, this Filmation version of Sorceress, of course, what we would call Club Grayskull, is her version an acceptable substitute for the Classics version Sorceress? I think so, in my opinion, and it really depends on how much of a purist you are. So if you're a real purist and you only want the Filmation version and you want to keep your Filmation characters and do just the sub of the Filmation line, then obviously she's the one to have. If you go the other direction and you want Classics because it's Classics, then obviously the other's the one to have. But when they're all posed in together, I think what you'll see with this new Sorceress is she is so freaking stunning that she really outshines the sculpt of the original Sorceress. I mean, even the face features, it is a true Filmation look at the Sorceress. And I think the combination of that sculpt, the wings, the little bit different sculpt on the buck. She bends a little bit different there in the center. So kind of excited to see what that looks like. But really, man, I mean, yes, she will be the I think she'll fit in nicely to any collection. And I don't think that she would stick out to a point where you would say, oh, my gosh, that figure doesn't quite fit. But I do know that some of the paint apps that we've dealt with or some of the plastics that have been being used in the previous warehouse have been an issue with coloration and that kind of thing. So we really won't know until we have the prototype in our hands, but I appreciate you bringing that up because that's very cool. What up, Dicto Slayo? What's happening, my brother? Dictor Slayor is in the room. And for those who are joining the podcast that don't know why I'm calling everybody by crazy names, it's the Waffle Mafia, bro. It's what we do. We all have nicknames. Aaron Johnson, the Wiz, Wizard, Wafflor, whatever you want to call me. Wife's calling me Grizzlord this past week. Was not calling me much on Saturday that we could talk about on a podcast. But so now that I'm out of the doghouse, we talked about it before when we first got on. Going to run through it kind of quick because we've ate up all our time talking about all this good news from Super 7, and that's perfectly cool. But what up, Aiden? What's going on, buddy? So tomorrow night we're going to do Battle Armor He-Man, Loose Complete Classics. There will be other things that go on as well. You guys know how that works. For anybody that's in the podcast, you're automatically entered in for tomorrow night. There will be other spots available. We are going to do Battle Armor He-Man. Now, some of you are asking, well, we're going to do the Super 7 version as well. We'll do a vintage version. I'm giving it all away, but there will be more. A lot of people are asking, why was this called the Powers of Grayskull podcast when this had nothing to do with the Powers of Grayskull? Actually, it kind of does. There's a tie-in. I don't lie. I'm never very straightforward about anything. I always like to beat around the bush and A little pause for the cause on that, Tush. All right. So, as you may or may not know, who created the battle armor for He-Man? So, the question came about, where did He-Man get the power for his battle armor? How did this come about? Where did it come from? Well, my first and immediate answer that sprang through my mind, pause for the bush. Pause for the bush. You got me way screwed up, Carvalka. The first thing, what up, Crystal Ball Dabilo? What's going on, my brother? So the very first thought that came to mind was, well, hell, it comes from the power of Grayskull, right? I mean, obviously, He-Man gets all of his power from Grayskull. But really, where did the battle armor come from? It wasn't like we were dealing with in the Obelisk, where He-Man and Skeletor just started calling out, and they got power to good, power to evil, power to good, power to evil, where we just got these upgraded warriors that kept springing out of the obelisk. But it's much the same way. And that being said, I started digging because I was trying to find out where exactly do we think that this armor comes from. So my next thought was, well, the vintage He-Man, Battle Armor He-Man, he would have been packaged with a mini. Is there anything in the minis that would indicate to us where the battle armor actually came from? Because sometimes we give origin stories in the minis and discuss where things actually took place or how Roboto got his heart and that kind of thing. So dug into that, couldn't find anything else. And I thought, well, that's strange because as a child, this was probably my most prominent He-Man figure. He probably got played with the most, more than anything else. So I would imagine, why wouldn't he have like a pretty extensive story about where the battle armor came from to market it to kids and tell them, you know, exactly why you need this battle armor He-Man? But got to digging a little bit further. It looks like Cristobal Dabila is all up on it somewhat and in some way. So first of all, shout out to Davila for knowing that. And that's very awesome. So what Cristobal said, didn't Man-at-Arms help him with it? Actually, he did. And actually, he didn't. So, in the 1984 German Motu audio plays, The battle armor was invented by Man-at-Arms to give He-Man additional protection in combat. It prevented fatal blows, and if damaged, repaired itself. So because of the action of the toy, the spring action, when we did the audiobooks, they incorporated that into that. And, of course, that was in 84. It says Man-at-Arms infused the armor with a rare crystal from the Mystic Mountains. In 87, in German Ehapa Motu Comics, similar to the German audio plays, the Ehapa comics established that Man-at-Arms created the battle armor for He-Man. However, after the armor was stolen by Hordak, Man-at-Arms further enhanced it with a sensor programmed to He-Man's genetic code, making it function only for him. Doesn't tell us where it came from, other than the fact Man-at-Arms made it there. At least before, he had to have a cool crystal from the Mystic Mountains, which, you know, the Mystic Mountains seems to be where you find most things. But in 2008, Motu Classics established, and this is in the Classics canon, of course, some folks accept, some folks reject, as far as the bios go. But, guys, it's a part of canon. It's something that's going to be a part of Motu history because it is something on the figures. So what we get here is He-Man created his battle armor after learning to harness the power of Grayskull. Now, guys, to me, when I was a kid and I got this figure, and I knew that He-Man channeled Grayskull through the sword, and that's what transformed him into He-Man, it just logically made sense to me that he would channel the power of Grayskull again for an upgrade, or be able to tap further into the power and get an upgrade. So for me, this particular bio works. It's a lot different than most. It actually makes sense. So what we have is He-Man was able to create his battle armor after learning to harness the power of Grayskull. He discovered that by combining the power of the universe and the knowledge of the elders, he could anticipate the armaments and armor needed to best help him in his early battles against Skeletor and Evil Warriors. Later on, we talk about how the power of Grayskull has further helped He-Man. It gave him the Flying Fist power. It gave him upgrades to his weapons all the time. However, with one of the coolest figures that, in my opinion, has ever been made, we don't really have a definitive where this particular power came from. However, in my mind, power of Grayskull rules all things. For all the star seed and everything, all up in the bottom of Grayskull. Lord, she's got a beautiful undercarriage. And with that said, guys, I mean, that's kind of our discussion for powers of Grayskull. That was how we were tying it in. Battle Armor He-Man taps into the power of Grayskull, further unlocking its secrets and creating the armor that he needs. Question is, we got a Battle Armor Skeletor. Where exactly did he come from? Don't know that either. But we will talk about that at some point here in the near future. Appreciate you guys hanging out with me, doing the podcast thing. Oh, and one last thing that I want to talk to you guys about before you go. I know we've run a few minutes over, but this is really super important in regards to tomorrow and Friday night. So, guys, here's what it's going to be. And I've already, I've got a special guest who's going to be dropping in for Friday night. So, you already know about Thursday. So, for Thirsty Thursday, we're going to be doing Battle Armor He-Man. We're going to be picking up a few of the other things that go along with him. Vintage, we're going to do some Super 7 beautiful stuff. But Friday night, my friends, we are bringing back an old tradition. And it's not a Lucky Legends tradition, but it is a Waffle Mafia tradition. And it is something that has been very synonymous with us since the beginning. And it'll be a shout out to my capo, John Myslowick. Johnny Miz is going to join me for a very special edition of Friday Night Spikes. And Friday Night Spikes, we are going to get together and we are going to talk about Spy Corps. We're going to do Spy Corps in Zolo case, mint on card, absolutely beautiful. This will be Friday Night Spikes. We're going to have a visit from Johnny Miz. Could be Mischief Witch, you never know. He's going to come in and help me do the show. So Friday night, we're going to have a little special spin with Johnny Miz. And we're going to get into Friday Night Spikes and revive that tradition as well. Now, here is the big kicker. Obviously, everybody who's in the chat room right here that I'm talking to you in is in for Thirsty Thursday and is in for tomorrow night's waffle. However, if you choose to upgrade, and you guys know how we've done that, we've done kind of the upgrading by buying the seats that really you guys would have bought anyway. So here's the kicker. If you buy two spots tomorrow night and you pick up two spots for Friday Night Spikes, you will automatically be entered into a special waffle that will take place on Sunday, and that will be Suddenly Sunday, and that is how you get in that waffle. So anybody, and I'm going to say it one more time, anybody who's in the podcast for tonight, you got a free spot for tomorrow night. There will be upgrades available. So if you take advantage of that and you go all in, two, not inches, if you go all in and you bury it deep both nights in a row, so if you go hard and go hard, you get a special card. On Sunday, you're going to be in for a Suddenly Sunday that will spring up at some point throughout Sunday. Don't know what time. It'll just be a fun thing. And all the folks that are in, they have the double spots in both tomorrow night and Friday Night Spikes, you'll have a free spot on Sunday. So with that said, guys, appreciate you hanging out with me. It's been the Waffle Mafia Podcast. Be sure to check out all the other podcasts. Fans of Power with Joel Amato, Mr. Tyler Baker, Masters of the Galaxy with myself sometimes when I don't work, John Myslowick, of course, the creator and founder, Mr. Brian Ozone, and Brian Oatman as well when he can also make it. There are some other podcasts out there as well. Go check out that Super 7 info if you haven't seen it already. And other than that, guys, pause for the cause. We'll see you tomorrow night, y'all.